Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard.
And I have a theory.
Hello, chickens. Oh, just as I started to record this, bag fell on my head from the shelf above. And it's got like my name badge and a whole bunch of other things from the Janet Fielding event that Sirens of Audio hosted in Sydney. So I guess that's a reminder that they've got the Wendy Padbury event coming up soon. Wendy Padbury played Zoe, one of the Second Doctor companions, who's recently reappeared in The Tales of the TARDIS, has done many Big Finish episodes. And yeah, as I've said, they run a delightful event. They're just really fun and friendly and just adorable. Anyway, I would love to go to one of the ones in another city. Like, I kind of love the Sydney ones, but I love going to all over the place, different events everywhere. Anyway, that's just one thing to remember. Now, we have been talking about The Wild Blue Yonder, and in the last episode, I did have a theory. Half-baked theory about how Mavity has happened to pervade everything, even though it's based on, as Ali pointed out, a faulty premise, false logic. But, you know, it's Doctor Who. We just run with things sometimes, even though they make no sense. Damien says, Wild Blue Yonder gave me the vibe of a mid-season episode. Well, I mean, I guess it was. If the season is three episodes, it wasn't mid-season. After a big twist where we need the Doctor and companion to be introspective, which it was. I think I went in expecting a different vibe, and so it wasn't until a rewatch that I was able to appreciate it. See, expectations can sometimes just really ruin it for you, can't they? Like, if you just go, oh, this is going to be amazing, often it's like, eh, it's not great. Like, I don't know if you've seen Godzilla Minus One, but I went in thinking, oh, look, it's going to be a Godzilla film, whatevs. I love a Godzilla film. I love just a man in a suit kicking over boxes with cities drawn on them. And it was incredible. Like, it's made for only $5 million, apparently. Like, I know that's a lot of money to the rest of us, but it's a very small budget for a film that has a lot of special effects in it. But I really, really loved it. And I've been trying to tell people to go and see it, but then I kind of like, I don't want to oversell it because I don't want you to get there and go, oh, it's a bit disappointing. But it's really good. Like, it feels like it does everything right that the last maybe 10 Marvel films have done wrong, where it just kind of, it treats the story and the characters as the most important thing, and the spectacle, while it is still amazing, is is last. I mean, it's still like it's a spectacular film and some great stuff happens, but I would have really been fascinated by what was going on in the film outside of a giant monster comes to town and smashes everything. Like, it was, you know, it's set at the end of World War II. It's dealing with, you know, that whole thing. Like, you know, they never really say it out loud, but there's a lot of, you know, the Americans committed a lot of atrocities, but because they won the war, they're considered the good guys. So, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. It's yeah, and, you know, the kind of being forced to feel shameful about your behavior during the war, which is kind of in counterpoint to the real shame that should have been felt by the people as a whole. Like, it's just, yeah, it's a lot. It's amazing. It's just a really fun, interesting film that I could watch again and again and again. And they're doing a black and white version. Anyway, this is not a Godzilla podcast. Sorry, Damien, I've completely derailed your message here. Anyway, after a wee watch is when you watch it on your, like, I just watch Doctor Who on my watch because it's got a wee screen. I wonder if I can get Disney Plus on my little watch here. Like, I can talk to people on it, like I'm in a spy movie. Can I watch Doctor Who on my watch? I wouldn't, but can I? I want to find out now if I can. anyway, Damien, after a rewatch, says, after some reflection, it is well placed because the Doctor and Donna need to reconnect and find their rhythms for who they are now. This was perhaps most clear in how Donna held back on what she knew of what happened to the Doctor due to the meta crisis, or metacarpals, according to autocorrect. Metacarpals, aren't they like, they're like a bone in your finger or your toes, aren't they? Damien says, does anyone else think the pivot from high-spec cinematography and effects in episode one to some questionable visuals here is to prepare the new fans coming through Disney distribution to watch the back catalogue? No, I think it was just, yeah, watching the making of, they were doing that thing where they had the whole thing was in like a virtual space. So they were doing it on green screen, but the director could watch it on as if it was in real time. So the camera tilts, the whole hallway tilts, like they keep the geometry and all that kind of thing. And then it's rendered out for the final episode. But I don't know, like the director's quite young. I don't know if there was just like a bit of inexperience or maybe their reach had exceeded their grasp in some of the special effects, but I think it looked amazing 98% of the time. Like the times it was kind of like a bit jarring was it was maybe 2%, and I think part of that is because it is in such high definition, like it's in 4K and it's unforgiving. Like that is an unforgiving resolution. You see everything. So if something's a bit kind of, you know, off kilter, you're like, oh yeah, no, that does not look good. It's like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but apparently some of the Marvel films, they keep sending out updates because films are digital files now when you go to the cinema, and they'll just like, while you're asleep, like overnight, they'll send an update with some fixed special effects. So someone who saw it on Wednesday will see a completely different film on Thursday. Like that is crazy to me because I come from the world of, you know, everything was locked down on a film, and if you wanted to see a new version, you had to wait for Ridley Scott to go and mess about with it and make a final definitive super director's cut. Like, how many versions of Blade Runner there are, I still am completely confused by. James Cameron also has gone in and changed films. That's a big thing at the moment, is there are these 4K versions of... I went to see The Abyss at the IMAX in Sydney and it didn't work. They couldn't get it to play. Although they did point out they couldn't get anything to play, not even a commercial. So it wasn't just The Abyss file. So I missed that. But yeah, apparently the Blu-rays of these films, like I think it's True Lies, they've kind of removed all the grain and they've done some weird stuff with... You know, like they've smoothed out people's faces and stuff. It looks very strange. You know, the AI is not far enough along to really be doing any of that with, but hey, they're trying. But yeah, that is a very funny comment, Damien. Like, because imagine someone watches, you know, all the special effects in these specials and goes, oh, well, I'm going to go back and watch the old Doctor Who's because, you know, this one, it's very similar, to, as I've just said, to the Ark in Space. Someone might hear that, decide to go and watch it and then go, Adam, the cliffhanger on one episode is a man looking terrified at his hand because it is covered in bubble wrap that's been spray painted green. And yes, that is true. That is exactly what it is. But oh my God, was that terrifying when I was a kid. I totally bought into it. But yeah, that is very funny. James has quite a bit to say about Wild Blue Yonder. We may be going on over into two episodes. In a great episode, I want to focus for a moment on the way that the Flux and the Timeless Child was handled. Oh, good, James. This is exciting. I'm someone who has absolutely no problem with either the Timeless Child or the consequences of the Flux. I think that's many people who listen to my podcast. So, you know, I know a few people don't like it, but a lot of people just kind of went, no, that's all fine. James says, I think that the Timeless Child storyline was handled perfectly well, although I do think there were some real problems with how the Flux storyline unfolded, mainly the seeming lack of consequence of the universe being half wiped out and the damp squib of Tecteon's demise at the hands of the Thompson twins. So I'm already receptive to Russell T. Davis affirming the place of these storylines, and I have to say I was really delighted with how he went about it, directly, economically, and as a useful story moment for Wild Blue Yonder. It was clear that these events have real mavity for the Doctor. Oh, James, no, you didn't. I mean, the Flux does come up again in The Giggle, and we might talk about that a bit later on. But yes, oh, we will continue James's message in the next episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.